Fuck you! Australia! Germany! Africa!
Here we go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go. It is the 14th day of June 2017, and this is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where you can find us on the internet. That's where you'll also find the easy access to The Horn stream player and The Horn chat room. Yes, The Horn chat room. And if you so choose at the Horn chat room, you can pick yourself out a screen name and a password and jump right into the merriment. You will be part of the madcap multimedia real-time zany wacky extravaganza that is Horn chat during the hours in which the program is live from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, Monday through Friday. Okay? Okay. If you do pick out a screen name and a password and jump into the multimedia madcap real-time extravaganza, you will be met by, Anatole and Hoghead and Jug of Punch and Silent R. Lamar and Squeaky and VP Blom. And you will, of course, be capably moderated by Midweek Utility Prayer Meeting Wednesday moderator Steve from Georgistan. Okie doke. Good deal. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. I was gone yesterday, during which time we had a humdinger of a lightning storm here. Lightning ran in on the phone line. Everything behind the uninterruptible power supplies was perfect. Protected. Wonderful. But because years and years and years ago, Verizon, which is now long gone, sort of jacklegged the work installing the internet here, the lightning ran in on the phone line and it blew a resistor or some other one of those little things that's soldered onto a board, blew it off the board inside the modem. Which has occasioned me spending just about every minute of every waking minute of this day trying to get everything sorted out. But I did. And tomorrow, Frontier's coming back to redo the ground. And I can happily report that, there was only minor damage. The streaming computer, which was going to go to its long home anyway, or at least get a bunch of its guts replaced, got its network interface card fried, and the network interface card on board with the motherboard. And the same thing happened to the production machine. But everything else is okay, including the zip line. The zip machine, which sends the stream up to the Progressive Voices server when I fill in for Mike and Kathy, which I will be doing this Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. I hope you'll be around. We should have some Jim Dandy conversation, I would hope. And along the line, look, we take care of the housekeeping at the front of the program. And on a day like this, doing something that resembles normal, well, you know, you just can't overestimate that. No, you can't. And so come Friday, we will only have a two-hour program, which means that we'll get Friday on the front porch started almost right out of the gate on Friday, so we'll have a couple of hours of conversation and then shut everything down, reboot, retool, and get ready to sub for Mike and Kathy. Okay? It's Wednesday, and it would be prayer meeting Wednesday, and I'd be doing the shtick with the plate passing and the butter mints and the cattle prod and all of that. But, frankly, I'm not in much of a mood for that. As you can probably imagine, why? And I should note, I should note that the reason I'm on the air right now is thanks to our dear friend Fab, the audio interface for the brand new production, the Fab machine, having been pulled into early duty to take the audio from the mix desk into a different computer. Thank you, Fab. Thank you very, very, very much. It's almost inexpressible. And probably by the, you know, once, that, yeah, look, it was fortuitous. We're going to get proper grounding tomorrow, which means that everything should be nice and clean and safe. And, well, I mean, except for, it, well, it depends on how you look at it. But everything should be golden by the time we put new equipment in here. With any luck at all. And that would be wonderful. Let's see, what else? I was gone yesterday. I was gone a couple of counties over. And got back last night. Ferg stayed here at the fort, the mansion, and was a little freaked out by the close strike, lightning strike. Hey, those things will freak you out. But everything's working. So Monday night, thanks to a challenge from Bob in Texas, we managed, with the help of the overnight crew, to keep up with fundraising on Monday. That means this evening we have a $300 fundraising goal. And that means that we can knock down two-thirds of that thanks to some help from Yuki. Thank you, Yuki. Thank you very kindly. Yuki has kindly put a $100 challenge on the table, which means that, you know, five turns into ten, your 10 to 20, etc. And that will knock down two-thirds of the fundraising goal for this evening. And we do have bills to pay, lots and lots of bills here at the middle of the month of June. If you want to help out, well, because of technical issues, among other things, because of technical issues with Skype, we've been losing a bunch of subscribers. And it's not people, and they're not all brain writing to me going, "You're an asshole." No, so if you'd like to become a regular monthly, and it's not really a subscription because it's not like we're sending you a magazine. We don't sell anything here. But it's just a sort of set it and forget it. You put in $10 there in the field, you click make this a recurring monthly donation, and you go on. If you don't want to do that, though, just put in any amount you want, Mr. Soros. That would be about $10,000 a month. Yeah. But everybody else, just put in whatever you want to do to help keep things going. And the PayPal interface is real easy. And that part works just fine. If you prefer the United States Postal Service, Well, the mailing address is The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, B-E-C-K-L-E-Y, W-V 25801. Okie doke. And boss man Wayne is home from the hospital. Hopefully he'll be recuperating. I made a run over to the mailbox today. Thank you, by the way, to longtime supporters of the program, Brandon and our buddy Tom in the Bay Area. And thank you all as well to Terrace. Thank you, Terrace, very, very kindly for your help. So I guess there's no hiding from it. There's no getting around it. We're going to have to talk about what happened today. It was a horrible thing. It was a heartbreaking thing. And it was an entirely predictable thing. Three people are dead. Two others are wounded. The guy who did the shooting killed himself. And it's going to be a long time before life returns to normal at the United Parcel Service package sorting facility in San Francisco. Oh, wait, you thought I was going to talk about the D.C. softball field thing, didn't you? Not yet. Not yet. Because, see, since there were Republicans involved in the one in D.C., we're going to completely forget about the one in San Francisco, because there weren't any good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical Republicans who got all scared and shot at. No, these were just ordinary folks who got up and went to work every day and happened to go to work today, and a guy in a UPS uniform walked into the package sorting facility and with a pistol that he acquired just as easy as you can. You can get a pistol easier than you can get a lot of other things in this country. He proceeded to kill three people, shoot himself, and before shooting himself, wounded a couple of others. This was all at 8:55 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time, 11:55 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And there at the facility on Potrero Hill, the police found a couple more. They found two firearms. The guy who did the shooting was named Jimmy Lamb. He lived in San Francisco. And not a lot known about why he did what he did, except to say that guns are as easy to acquire as you could possibly want them to be. Well, no, that's not true, because see, there was debate scheduled today in the Congress of the United States that would have made firearms even more easy to acquire and to carry. Of course, that debate was suspended out of a sense of decorum. Not for the ordinary citizens who were murdered in San Francisco today, but, you know, for the members of Congress, none of whom were killed. As Carol Baker pointed out to me a moment or two ago, she said, can someone please give me the name of a fucking Democrat or a D-lister we can blame so we don't have to talk about guns, in the San Francisco shooting? Liberals! Quoting from a news story, Carol sent me the following. Anger about his own colleagues being attacked was evident in the words of Representative Steve King, Iowa, Cantaloupes. Wearing a suit and tie, he stopped by the crime scene to pray
and was viscerally angry about his own colleagues being attacked.
America has been divided, and the center of America is disappearing, and the violence is appearing in the streets, and it's coming from the left. King did indicate it was impossible to separate the hyperpartisan climate in Washington, especially people protesting President Trump, with Republican members of Congress being gunned down at a baseball practice. Well, as Carol Baker notes, Steve King needs to get off his knees and stop praying. It was quite a transparent act of self-promotion in the face of another predictable shooting. Interesting, he should decide that the left is dividing America, and we're the violent ones. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. Carol continues and says, I don't recall seeing any black people at any of the Klan rallies as of late. Don't recall seeing any Mexicans at the border calling for a wall. Don't recall hearing of anyone from the LGBTQ community shooting up any nightclubs. Shooter, regardless of any fleeting affiliation with Bernie Sanders' campaign, is just one more economically anxious, doughy, fat-assed white guy with easy access to firearms. If you were a real man, you wouldn't be pointing fingers at the entire left for this, Steve King. You'd be pointing a finger at Wayne LaPierre and his NRA gun humpers. But you won't do that because cashing Wayne's checks gets you harder than a Filipino hooker on holiday. Steve-O, old boy, you're a transparent racist. Remember when you said all the Mexicans coming over the border had calves the size of cantaloupes and they were all drug runners? Remember how you like to refer to criminals as urban, like we don't know that's racist code for black? The moment President Obama would offer his condolences to victims, you were one of the first ones accusing him of dividing the nation and politicizing a tragedy. Fuck off, Congress Clown King! You're not fit to lead a parade of developmentally challenged pigeons, much less serve in Congress. Amen and amen. Yeah, there's a few things that came to mind early on. Marty asks, has Alex Jones called it a false flag yet? Well, no, but see, if it had been a right winger who did the shooting, the cries of false flag would still be bouncing off every satellite and from sea to shining sea. Plain and simple. What else? Well, I want to be super duper careful in what I say this evening. I'm going to say this first, though. Maybe the pasty-faced, doughy white guy was a liberal. Maybe he was a progressive. But I don't know many who want to take action with firearms as not a last resort, but a first resort. As an offense and not a defense. I don't know any, as a matter of fact. But if he was liberal, if he was progressive, I'll tell you. You know what? This isn't an ego thing, because I don't have time for that. This isn't, you know, my friends with half my brain tied behind my back. No. But I wish the guy could have found the horn. I wish he could have joined in the conversation, whether he talked or just sat at home and listened and participated that way. I wish he could have found the horn. Maybe instead of going down and buying himself a freedom protector, maybe he would have been engaged in sitting around the conversation here and laughing or maybe getting his belly rumbling with some food porn or any of the other various means of carrying on that we engage in around here. Because I want to be abundantly clear. Taking the right wing way of action is almost never the right way of action. And make no mistake, that's what he did, Hodgkinson. He took the right wing way out. But I will be, I'll be candid. When reports began filtering out earlier this morning, the shooting took place at 9 minutes past 7 a.m. EDT. How about that? And just think about that. I know you've heard me say this before, but it bears saying again. At 7:08 a.m., he was a lawful gun owner. That was not a firearm that was illegal for him to possess. Best of my knowledge. Probably came by it legally. And in the tick of the second hand of a clock, in the time and distance that must be traveled in order for a squeezed trigger to cause the firing pin to strike the shell, he went from a lawful gun owner to an awful gun owner. In that micro minuscule space of time and distance, he went from being a darling of America's most wealthy, most powerful, well-connected domestic terror organization, the National Rifle Association, to being an awful gun owner. That's what we're talking about here. That's it in a nutshell. Yeah. By the way, the guy who got shot at most, Steve Scalise, the guy who got hit, please remember, not saying he had it coming or that he deserved it. Nobody deserves that. But do let's remember that he was a darling of the Ku Klux Klan. As the right wing grief train pulled out of the station this morning, one of the first people on board was David Duke, Grand Dragon of the Klan, reminding people that it was certainly unfair for Steve Scalise to be targeted because he'd gone and spoken to a Klan meeting, you know, a few years back. I mean, the Klan votes too. Don't they deserve to be spoken to by Congress critters? Sure they do. They're Americans. But make no mistake, the guy who's recovering in the hospital right now is a Klan sympathizer. And that's a fact. It's not an allegation, it's not a supposition, it's not a suspicion. It is a fact that Steve Scalise is a Klan sympathizer. A Klan sympathizer is the House Majority Whip. That's how high the bigoted, xenophobic, racist arm of the right-wing party has risen in this country. All right? Oh, I better mention this real quick. I just had a note from Brother Deacon Asa. If it helps motivate the brethren and sistren, I'll toss in $50 if Yuki's $100 challenge is met before the break. That means before 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time or somewhere thereabouts. So if Yuki's challenge gets met, then Brother Deacon Ace is going to kick in another $50 on top of it. That sweetens the pot. That makes it a little bit more imperative that we meet that challenge. So far, we're still waiting for responses to her challenge. But yeah, that's a Klansman who, a Klan sympathizer who got shot today. Have I mentioned that the Klan are essentially a Christian fascist organization? Because, you know, they are. So many things to talk about. And yes, the Congress was scheduled to debate today. Oh, what was the name of this misbegotten piece of shit legislation? Oh, there it is. Discussion of the sportsman. Oh, you want to talk about Orwellian? Discussion of a debate on the House Natural Resources Federal Lands Subcommittee on the Sportsman's Heritage and Recreational Enhancement Act was scheduled for today, but it got put on hold. Why? Because that was another one of those pieces of bloody legislation that the NRA desperately wants, and which would have made it easier. Will, because it's going to pass. Understand, whether it's three dead in San Francisco or one shot-up Klan sympathizer in Washington, D.C., this bill's going to pass. Because what does it do? It makes it easier to transport firearms across state lines in the United States. It eases restrictions on armor-piercing bullets in the United States. It makes it easier for freedom protectors to go out and buy silencers for their freedom protectors in the United States. It was sponsored by Representative Jeff Duncan, a Republican from South Carolina, who was also at the softball practice today. Yeah. So, yeah, we wouldn't want people pointing to that and saying, hey, isn't this a little inappropriate? No, we don't want that. That would be awful. What else? Well, you know, when the news broke, and by the way, this is what it sounded like. That's four. Five. Six, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13.
Who are they shooting?
They're up in the park. I don't know.
I think that's the part that sort of got to me the most. Who are they shooting? Yeah, they're at the park. Yeah, because, you know, people get shot in America. And people shoot guns in America. In the middle of Alexandria, Virginia, who are they shooting? Ah, they're at the park. So many things ran through my head in hearing this, hearing about this. There were conflicting reports. Sprinting to get up on the cross, a pair of Republican congressmen said, "Yeah, we think we talked to the shooter. He came up to us and said, 'Those Republicans are Democrats out there.' 'Oh, those are Republicans, sir. Thank you.'" And then that they were convinced that was the shooter. The only problem was when Jeff Flake of Arizona described the shooter, he described him as wearing entirely different clothing. But, you see, the hardcores from the Republican Party wanted to get it out there that, you know, they were under attack. They were being targeted. Right. But when I first heard the story, and I heard that one Republican congressman was injured, I realized, well, I sort of came to grips with the idea that it was probably someone who considered himself from our side of the ideological debate who had done it. I was guessing it wasn't, it wasn't a Muslim. It wasn't ISIS. I felt pretty confident it was a white guy, a white man. One of the things that made me feel confident that, well, look, if that had been a right winger doing the shooting, those people know how to handle weapons. They've got lots and lots of guns. There are right-wingers out there who have houses full of guns and thousands and thousands and thousands of rounds of ammunition. And if that had been a Republican shooting at members of Congress, it would have been a massacre. Because they know how to shoot. Yeah, you heard the audio there. Bang, 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 bang. Wait, 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 wait. Bang. Who knows why he did what he did? We're never going to get to know that now, except he's being judged for what's on his Facebook page. You know, I post a lot of political stuff on my page, sort of in support of the program. But now everybody in America who's ever posted something against Trump or against Republicans or critical of some godforsaken piece of right-wing filth legislation is going to be, what, subject to question? Yeah. Never one to let a good crisis go to waste. Cootie? Well, one of the Trump boys immediately got on Twitter and agreed with someone else's assertion that this all happened because, as we talked about on Moran Monday, the public theater in New York is putting up a production of Julius Caesar in which a guy with blonde hair and a too long necktie is playing Julius Caesar in modern dress. This would be a good time to reiterate the fact that the message of Shakespeare's Julius Caesar is not hey, how cool, assassinations are freaking awesome. No, the message of Julius Caesar is political violence leads to the decay of political societies and entire cultures. But I know, it's too complicated for Udi. But I did. I knew it wasn't a right winger. Because if that was a really serious member of the National Rifle Association, the dead would have been stacked like cordwood out of this morning. And of course, this is no time to talk about gun control, because these things just happen. And because there's always a sleazebag like Steve King to jump out and say what he did. And of course, the shooter was associated immediately, almost immediately, with Bernie Sanders, which forced Bernie to go out and... Republicans don't have to do this.
Madam President, I have just been informed that the alleged shooter at the Republican baseball practice this morning is someone who apparently volunteered on my presidential campaign. I am sickened by this despicable act, and let me be as clear as I can be. Violence of any kind is unacceptable in our society, and I condemn this action in the strongest possible terms. Real change can only come about through nonviolent action, and anything else runs counter to our most deeply held American values. I know I speak for the entire country in saying that my hopes and prayers are that Representative Scalise, congressional staff, and the Capitol police officers who were wounded make a quick and full recovery. I also want to thank the Capitol Police for their heroic actions to prevent further harm.
Because, one, it was a damn decent thing to do. But, two, this just goes to show those commies that want their kids to be able to go to college without graduating with a bajillion dollars in debt. Right? Yeah. They're why we can't have nice things. Yeah, I know. The guy was from Illinois. In case you didn't know, Southern Illinois might as well be Alabama. Chicago, the greater Chicagoland area, tries to get a handle on firearms in the city. But down in the countryside of Illinois, you can probably get an AR-15 and a goddamn gumball machine or a bag of Cracker Jacks. And that's another one of those things we won't talk about, you know, because that would be politicizing it. But yeah, you can pretty much walk into, so he bought a gun. Because everybody can buy guns. Because guns are about freedom. But to one extent, I suppose we're going to get a little relief today and in the next couple of days We won't see any members of that of the most well-financed, most powerfully attached domestic terror organization in the United States. We won't see any tweets or Facebook posts or anybody running to the microphone to talk about how the tree of liberty must be from time to time watered with the blood of patriots and tyrants. It is its natural manure. We won't hear that for a couple of days. Because then we'd have to go into that that whole question of whether or not Steve Scalise was a patriot or a tyrant. Or whether the shooter was a patriot or a tyrant. Or who was the manure? Right? Yeah. Because, you know, they're just, by the way, I bet you that every Republican at that softball field had at one time or another voted or spoken at least favorably in about open carry. And yeah, more than just Steve King cashes the Wayne LaPierre big old domestic terrorism money check. And you got to remember, Wayne LaPierre said the only way to stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. Well, none of those Republican members of Congress were packing heat. Of course, to be fair, you know, it's a softball field, and if you've got your Freedom Protector one on each hip, and you have to stretch out in the dirt to get a, you know, to get a grounder headed for the hole so you can turn around and throw to first. Well, somewhere in that process, you might just shoot the second baseman, you know, when you jump into the dirt. Because freedom. Wolverines! You didn't think we were going to get through this segment without a Wolverines reference now, did you? Huh. Marty says, softball? I thought they were practicing the real game. By the way, I'm surprised no one has started blaming the Golden State Warriors for it, having mostly refused to go to the White House after winning the NBA championship. And Marty says, amazing, none of them could figure out to duck. Today's reading will be from the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and duck! By the way, compare the class and aplomb of that clip from Bernie Sanders that you just heard with this.
As you all know, shortly after 7 a.m. this morning, a gunman opened fire on members of Congress and their staffs as they were practicing for tomorrow's annual charity baseball game. Authorities are continuing to investigate the crime, and the assailant has now died from his injuries.
He sounds like he killed him himself, doesn't he? Has now died.
The FBI is leading the investigation and will continue to provide updates as new information becomes available. Congressman Steve Scalise, a member of House leadership,
and a sympathizer of the Ku Klux Klan,
was shot and badly wounded and is now in stable condition at the hospital, along with two very courageous Capitol police officers. At least two others were also wounded. Many lives would have been lost if not for the heroic actions of the two Capitol police officers who took down the gunman despite sustaining gunshot wounds during a very, very brutal assault.
Here's a question. It was a white guy with a semi-automatic weapon. Was it domestic terrorism? Or does that only happen when the shooter is brown or demonstrably Muslim? Yeah? And as Carol Baker points out, the FBI's leading the investigation? Why?
They can't be trusted.
I know. Oh, and by the way, 14 minutes before the hour, we are halfway thanks to Carol Baker, we are halfway to meeting the challenge that was posed by Yuki. 50 more bucks, 5 at 10, 2 at 25, 1 at 50, whatever. That challenge will be met, and that will trigger 50 bucks from Brother Deacon Asa, which will take us to only 50 bucks to go to be even for the week. But it has to happen before the break. Okay, so that's a 14 minutes or so, a little more. We got to raise 50 more bucks in about 14 minutes. And then Brother Deacon Asa throws in another 50. If. So, we're not really going to know why he did what he did, the shooter. But we don't even have to ask twice. We know how easy it is to get firearms in this country. And we know already that that the right wing is ginning up its wambulance to argue that that, you know, it's time to clean us, you, me, we, out. Because we're the dangerous ones. Now, the shooter was, what, 66 years old? Yeah. He had, I guess, dissolved his home inspection and mold inspection and mitigation business back in January. His entire 66 years on planet Earth are being defined now by what he did this morning, as well as what he posted on his Facebook page. But before it got disappeared, I did notice that there weren't a hell of a lot of posts on it. It's not like he was just out there posting every 15 minutes. But there's this. And I do not offer this as justification. There is no justification for engaging in violence like this. And I'm not saying that the violence is understandable. But questions cannot help but obtain in all of this. Compare. This morning's shooter discharged a firearm with intent to kill towards Steve Scalise. Steve Scalise, on the other hand, has engaged in legislative processes, and not just engaged in legislative processes, but has actively sought to take health care away from tens of millions of American people. Life-saving health care. Health care that means the difference between life and death. The American Health Care Act, of which Steve Scalise is so very supportive, is a piece of legislation which will undeniably, unquestionably, certainly, absolutely result in the deaths of more than 20,000 American citizens. When one deals in legislative agendas like that, how does it not become reasonable and foreseeable in a country where guns are as easily obtained as bicycles, and where in, say, your local Wally World, the guns are sold two aisles over from the bicycles? How is it not reasonable and foreseeable that someone who might very well be on that list of people due to have their lives ended would go over the line, take it personally, and do something like happened this morning? Or something like happened this morning in San Francisco. Because, see, that's the thing. When people are finally pushed past their limits, they become unpredictable. What is predictable, however, is that if they are inclined to go and obtain a firearm, the economic starch necessary to be able to do that, well, they're not that expensive, firearms. Not that expensive at all. And you don't have to necessarily go to the gun store to get them. Why, heck, there are gun shows all over this country where you don't even have to pass a background check to purchase one. Where a cash on the barrel head transaction, nah, I'm not a felon. Hell no, uh-uh. Even if you are. Ah, good luck and good hunting. I tell you what, she's a fine piece of weaponry. I wish you all the best. See how it works? Yeah. I don't want to say something as brutish as actions have consequences. I do not. Because if there is to be... If there is to be... anything resembling a nation of laws, if this country is to remain, if we are not to descend into absolute chaos, then this cannot be in any wise acceptable. But there's a certain, well, it's called the social contract for a reason. Contracts are agreements between parties. And contracts have terms which must be performed. And as a result, when the terms are not performed, that contract is deemed to be in breach. And it's probably a bit high-minded and highfalutin, but suffice to say that in whatever passed for the mind of today's shooter in Alexandria, Virginia, oh, they're at the softball field. That's why they're shooting. he deemed the contract to have been breached. And it's not that complicated a contract. For the most part, the American people, if left alone, will just happily go through about anything just to get to keep living their lives. Look how they vote. They vote for people in places like Mississippi and Alabama, Talibandiana, Tennistan, Georgistan, South Carolina Stan. They vote for people who actively every day work to fuck them and even craft legislation designed to kill them. And they don't take action. When they get ginned up, they allow themselves to be ginned up against people just for the color of their skin or whatever their faith belief system is. This country hosted hate rallies all over the nation last weekend. Anti-Sharia law rallies. They could only happen because of ignorance, bigotry, and hate. And people support that. So I guess what I can say is that this incident, just because it involved some Congress people, does not make it an outlier. It does not make it much different from any other place or any other subject or victims of any other shooting in this country. And understand that not one single Republican there today or in the entire Congress wants to or is willing to do a blessed thing about the underlying problems that lead to these things. And hint, the underlying problem isn't mental illness. Statistically, the mentally ill commit no more crimes than the sane. It's a gun problem, pure and simple. But the Republican Party itself is more than happy to even put one of its own up on its blood-soaked altar. A Klan sympathizer. And they'll sacrifice him or anyone else as long as the checks from the National Rifle Association, the most powerful, the most wealthy domestic terror organization in the United States, continue to clear. Had the man survived, he would not, the jury, neither judge nor jury would have put up with an insanity defense. He would have been adjudged capable of standing trial. He would have stood trial. And then, because it would have been a federal crime, he would have been horizontally crucified. This is the country we live in. And, according to, if not a majority, a loud and violent plurality of the people who live in this country, this what happened in Alexandria, Virginia, what happened in San Francisco, what happened last week in Florida, what happened in Sandy Hook, what happened in Orlando, what happened in Tucson, what happened in Aurora, Colorado, what happened in Blacksburg, Virginia, and on and on and on and on and on happen because that is the country that that dangerous, violent, noisy plurality wants to live in. Because, you know, someday the jackbooted government with their jackboots might come along and try to put their jackboots down on their patriotic necks right next to the tattoo that says, "Only God can judge me." Going to need some guns on that day, even if they bring helicopter gunships and hellfire missile your house. Talked to a guy the other day. Just idle conversation. Said, "You know what? I got enough ammunition in my house to hold off a small army for a month." "Really? When they bring in the mortar rounds?" Yeah. Dave in South Carolina, Stan, says, "Yet the Clem Sucks football team went to the White House and gave that MF-er a Clem Sucks jersey with his name and number one on it." Talking about what Marty said about the Warriors not going to the White House. Ron in Raleigh says, subject line, "Your favorite right winger." "Hey, Bob, Representative Mo Brooks, Mo Stupid, Mo Brooks, 18, said my favorite thing about today's assault. We had baseball bats. He had a gun. We were defenseless. I can just see a bunch of pig-licking strapped up taking batting practice." Meanwhile, Clarence says, "Bob, when will the Orange Marmalade sign an executive order to ban middle-aged armed white men? These terrorists are getting out of hand." Subject line, travel ban. I know. Oh, and a little bit of a blast from the past. The goddess of irony. Sometimes I put things in the player and they never quite make it out. But a little blast from the past for you. Listen to this clip. Listen to this.
"It just blows my mind when I see the President of the United States say that the answer to circumstances like that is more gun control. I mean, if the people... if some of those people in that community center had had what I've got in my back pocket right now... that..."
Hear him roar.
"I've always thought if more good people had concealed carry permits, then we could end those Muslims before they walk in and kill us." So I just wanted to take this opportunity to encourage all of you to get your permit. We offer a free course, and let's teach them a lesson if they ever show up here. So,
I don't know about you, but were you nauseated by all the roaring when he said, "End the Muslims and let's teach them a lesson if they ever show up here"? Were you nauseated by that? Because I was. You know who that was? This is, after all, Prayer Meeting Wednesday. That was noted follower of Christ Jesus, Jerry Falwell Jr. Several months back. I don't know why I left it in the player, but, you know, I did. And today I found out why. He's going to kill those Muslims. And you know, there at Jerry Falwell Church, they offer a concealed carry permit. And gosh almighty, if only one of those Republicans had been carrying a concealed weapon. But they are kind of, you know, I'd hate to be taking off my batting glove and sticking it in my hip pocket and suddenly shoot my own ass off. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the only people who were able to resist the shooter today were armed, trained police officers. Oh, and what a difference, you know, what a difference a year or so makes. On the one hand, out in Colorado, you remember the story? Where was it from? Colorado Springs. Colorado Springs. I remember talking with our buddy Kevin about it. Guy went walking down the middle of the street with a semi-automatic rifle on his arm. Somebody called 911 and said, there's a guy walking down the middle of the street with a semi-automatic rifle on his arm. The 911 dispatch said, well, it's Colorado. He's got Second Amendment rights to do that. Wait a minute. A year doesn't make any difference at all. Because, well, there in Virginia, you can just walk around strapped, too. Because that's how we protect freedom, and that's how we water the tree of liberty from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants, because it's their natural manure. CQ in the chat room says, I guess Bob wants to wait for cops to show up. Well, that's kind of what they did. Because, see, when you're and if one guy's got a gun and nobody else has a gun, you're ambushed. And you can't know he's going to be an awful gun owner until he decides to be an awful gun owner. Because, well, hell, we got people walking around with guns all over the place here in America. Because freedom. America. The greatest country in the history of the world on earth now, today, in the universe, forever, under God. Amen. Right? Sure. And, yeah, they waited for the cops to show up. And they were anywhere between a minute, the cops were anywhere between a minute to 10 minutes getting there. But another guy with a gun, well, you might have more dead Republicans, because people aren't necessarily trained for that sort of thing, and they don't do well in that situation. One Republican member of Congress who had been he said it reminded him of his time in Iraq. I won't say anything about chickens coming home to roost. I won't say that. All right, it is 8 minutes past the hour, and I want to extend some thanks. Thank you to Silent R. Lamar. And thank you to Frank. And thank you to Marty. We have met, and thank you for getting us started, to Carol Baker. We have met Yuki's challenge, and that triggers Ace's challenge. And so now we've got an hour and 50 minutes in which to just make up 50 bucks. Or reach 50 bucks more. And we'll be done with fundraising for the evening. Yay. So let's take a break. Let's do. And see what's on y'all's mind. Because I got a feeling you're going to want to chat. Going to want to talk. And we'll get with it. In short order. This is listener-supported conversation radio. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Cheaper on your only pension. There's just one thing that I forgot to mention. What have you got to lose when you know that you're guilty? To proven guilty.
check the jury. She does her hair and calls a lawyer cutie. It's Disneyland and the martial law. Twitch on the TV, tell me what you saw.
Shame. 13 minutes past the hour, and let's run over to the phones and check in with Silent R. Lamar. What do you say, Lamar?
How you doing there, buddy?
I'm here.
Okay, can I be a little ray of sunshine like you?
You've given me some relief, man.
Yeah, I'm gonna give you some relief. Yeah, because give me a couple of minutes to pull the rod out my ass that's been up my ass.
Yeah, go right ahead.
When you hear that poppy song, you know I've succeeded. Basically stating, remember you talk about economic anxiety?
Yeah.
Hey, if they want to get over economic anxiety, why don't you vote your goddamn pocketbook instead of your feelings?
Or instead of your bigotries and your fears?
Oh, bigotries don't bother me because bigotry doesn't hurt me. It hurts the person who's bigoted. Because as a black man, I'm like this. You don't want me to have some cookies? Well, damn, you can't take no cookies either. Because America is based on economics and how much money you got in your wallet. And it's a tier situation.
Exactly.
And it's very much based. See, like everybody gets pissed off at Obama. Well, if Obama wanted to help the black people, then he should have did like Kennedy and Johnson. Do something for West Virginia poor folks. Because there is no discrimination in this country as far as the government is concerned. If I give it to somebody, I got to give it to everybody.
Yeah, but that's what makes them so damn mad.
Well, that's why I laugh at them when they cry and holler that they ain't getting no cookies. It's their fault.
Yeah, if they just say here, you know, and pass the cookie jar around, but no, you know that cookie jar has some lettering on the outside. Same kind of lettering used to go on same kind of words used to go above things like water fountains.
Hey man, I've seen this sign, so don't even talk about me. Like Miss Bomb VT in the chat room.
Mm-hmm.
They made the statement that blacks used to be Republicans. Yes, I know we were Republicans back in 63. I was born in 58, so I've seen those signs. So when they passed the civil rights, which took 100 years from 1865, you know, I may be one of the few blacks that you can run across that does not care for Lincoln due to the fact that he gave a proposal to the federal people that let's keep the slaves, we'll dispense this over 200 years. Well, 200 years from 1865 to now, I'd still be a slave. And, you know, it, like I said, people may want to search it up. It was even in the movie. In the movie Lincoln, they rephrased it, but it was there. I had to give them, they had little legitimate.
Well, look, I mean, history is history. Lincoln was all for the Back to Africa, Liberia movement until Frederick Douglass showed up and said, that ain't my country. This is my country. I ain't going anywhere.
Well, but you know what? This is you touched on a little bit of history. Nobody remembers that Frederick Douglass was the first black Republican who ran for office under three different parties. But it's not being taught in our schools. And, you know, like it says in my history, if you don't know your past, you cannot foretell your future. Basically stating, if you don't know your history, you're doomed to repeat it. And I'm watching the repetition right now. I'm looking at right now, you got Trump up there talking 1937. And then you have a lot of stuff popping 1965. We're in the midst of the 60s, so the violence is going to get really off the chart. And like I said, they're just loving right now that they can identify the shooter at the baseball game as a Democrat. But guess what?
No, but they sure hung Bernie around his neck in a straight up hurry.
I don't care, because like I posted in the chat room, responsible people are not scared to say what is right. You don't have to push us to say what is right. The gentleman was wrong, but I understand his frustration. And I really do understand his frustration. I've been there. I've seen my people go through what that gentleman went through. What he did was not right. But it was effective, because right now, they've been talking all this time, Bobby. You can vouch for this. Democrats are soft, weak, and scary. Okay, now we just had a Democrat shoot at some Republican. Are we that damn scary? Really? I'm waiting for your response.
I'm of two minds on this, Lamar. If we say
let's hear both of them.
If we say we can understand him, or understand his frustrations, that makes it mighty easy for the other side to say, "Well, see, you approve of it." No matter how many times we say we don't approve of it, but you know, they are in this country is in a hell of their making. The Republicans. Democrats are out there running around saying more guns, more guns, more guns. I think the most overlooked, underreported story of the day is that the Republicans wanted to advance a bill with a hearing today that would have made it easier to acquire armor-piercing bullets, silencers, and transport firearms across state lines. That should actually be how this thing is reported.
True, I agree with you.
Gunman shoots at Republicans on same day. They seek to advance measure to make guns easier to get.
That is true. I agree with you. And see, by me being born when I was born in 58, I'm one of those Kennedy projects which they don't talk about. Well-educated Negro. And the point is, when Gingrich got Fox affiliated through his manipulation of Congress to let that Australian dude put up his propaganda in America when he was banned from Australia as almost as bad, like he was banned from. They control him in England. But the point is this: America has never had propaganda until Reagan became president, and now we have a propaganda station, which is Fox, under the Nixon regime, stating and putting out all these things. And you know, like I'm like you and a lot of other Democrats. I'm a Democrat. I'm not a progressive. I'm not a liberal. I'm a Democrat. I am American first, Democrat second, and my religion is between me and my God. And my religion does not say go and beat the next person next to you who don't believe like you over the head. It doesn't tell me to do that. It tells me to either love you or leave you alone. Well, if I can't love you, I will leave you alone. It's that simple. But these people have put a lot of things into the mix, and they don't know what to do. And as Democrats wanting everybody to be happy and successful, we take the brunt of the bullshit.
I couldn't agree more.
I'm really getting tired of it because, like I stated, I am a militant. So I'm like this. How many black people can I get to take a bullet to get gun control? Most people don't even understand that in California, we had open carry, and everybody was carrying guns until the Black Panthers showed up with Ronald Reagan at the Sacramento Capitol building with guns. Hey, California got gun control now. Because he was scared for his life. I'm like this. If every Hispanic who, anybody of color, see, people got to understand the word color is a code word. It means non-white. When I filled out my first application, I graduated from high school. I'm aging myself. 75, 76. Actually, I graduated in 76. I had all my credits by 75. UCLA wanted me. I didn't want to go to UCLA because I was one of those few black people. They were told their parents make too much goddamn money. So I had to go to a lesser university. I chose Long Beach State. 49ers go mud or whatever. You know, I ain't going to even get into that. But it was real simple. Our country is based on how much money you make. And until people realize, stop voting your one damn issue. America is not one issue. It's a lot of damn issues. As a black man, I'm like this. I have nothing against abortions. You want to know why? It doesn't involve me. People need to pay attention to what's involving you and stop trying to dictate your feelings on other people.
And you know what? You get that, Lamar. I would say everybody in the community gets that. It is next to impossible for a whole lot of people in this country to get that, especially with regard to the issue that you raised. None of my business.
Well, you know what?
None of my business.
I mean, I don't want to cut you off, but you know what? I understand. I grew up in the era where sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. So you can call me. You can say whatever you want. Like the Bill Maher situation, I'm not defending the guy, but I understood what he was saying because what I was brought up with. The millennials and younger people have no history of their past.
Well, I understood what he was trying to say too, but I'm not going to give it a pass simply because I believe, and this is just at me as a guy so white that he burns under a refrigerator bulb, saying,
"Well, you too."
We don't get to use that word anymore.
Well, you know what? I agree with you. But then again, there's words that I cannot use like redneck, honky, quacker. You know, there's words on the other side we cannot say. It's a two-way street. Everybody got to understand we're not riding on a one-way highway. We have bi-directional traffic.
Yep.
So if whatever you like, somebody does not like. I teach, like I stated, I work in a high school. I teach architecture, which is my profession. That's why I don't claim to be an English major. So if I misspell a word, I just want to be in the ballpark. Because if we're not talking about a structural thing, I don't give a shit. That's where I stand. But like I tell my children, when we have open forum, how does two men kissing affect your life? How do two women affect your life? How do lesbian, gays, whoever, getting married affect your life? And every one of them says, it doesn't. Like I
and Lamar says, ta-da!
Like I said to you one time, unless you are the parent of that child, how do you know it's a transsexual? You don't know it.
Or until the child knows, until the person knows. Nobody knows.
No, but see, the point is, to come up with these bathroom laws, how are you going to prove that this kid is this? Unless you're going to do an extensive background check and pull up the thing. Like every other black person who was born before a certain time and era, there are no paperwork on us.
Yep.
So that's where I'm sitting there saying. They come up with these Republicans, like I would like to say, the economic anxiety is the problem. People have been voting against their own best interest since 1981. I'm sorry. I'm not ashamed to admit it. I voted for Reagan the first time because I knew the gentleman's background. But then as I looked at him and did more research, and he proved my point, when he married his last wife, who was involved with a very heavily involved Republican person who told him he could make him president, Reagan kicked everybody to the curb. And when he allowed the religious evangelists to get involved in politics, he kicked everybody to the curb. Because I'm like this, in my book that I interpret the Bible as this, love yourself, love your God, and love your neighbor. So if these religious televangelists, as I call them, false prophets, gets up there and tell you that somebody is this, that, and this, they should be talking about how can we help the wounded, the hurt, and the afflicted. That's what the church is about, hope. What you listen to at these televangelists, there's no hope there.
No, but it's a cheap way to delude yourself that there is, Lamar.
Well, but see, it goes to the point they wonder why they don't have such a large religious following like they figure they should have. Well, you know what? If you're telling me that I'm supposed to love my neighbor, love myself, and love my God, and I'm watching you piss on my neighbor, curse me, and jerry-pick what God wants us to be, I can't follow that. No human's going to follow that. And, you know, the biggest point that I look at being an engineer, logic and common sense has abandoned the United States.
Oh,
I mean,
wait.
Look,
there's no country that engages in logic and common sense that says to itself, you know what? We need to make firearms easier to get than fishing rods. No.
Well, you know what? I mean, I'm like this. Let's arm everybody. I mean, I'm gonna go there. I'm gonna go there right now. Let's arm everybody, but don't shoot the blacks and Mexicans and Asians because they got a gun.
No, because see, I had that I had that pointed out to me a little earlier by Marty when I mentioned the guy in Colorado a year or two ago who was walking down the street with a strapped. And had and the 911 dispatch operator said, he can do that. He's got his right here in Colorado. And
right,
so,
but you know,
but Marty pointed out.
Go ahead.
Somehow, I doubt the privilege would extend to folks like myself, Tracy, Todd, the Angry Indian, Lamar. Yeah, you know, there's a big difference between white folks walking around strapped and people of color walking around strapped in this country.
That is why Tamara Rice is dead right now. Because the person who called 911 said there's a black person in the park with a firearm. And when the police showed up, they started shooting. Like I posted in the chat room. Republican family value is shoot first. And don't you dare ask me any goddamn question because I have to shoot you next. That's the way I look at it. And it's like I said, if you really want something to happen, say, I see black people in front of the house next door, and they look like they're bringing cops to be there before you hang the goddamn phone up. They will be there before you hang the damn phone up.
And then they get mad at you
because they're not black people, huh?
No argument here.
I'm like this. And then they get mad at you because there's no black people there that they can beat down. And it's not just black people. It's, like I said, color means anything but white.
And there have been
times
when white has not meant white. You know, Irish and the Italians have not, the Irish, the Italians, and the Jews have not been white for that long in America.
About 2.5 hundred years.
No. Look, I mean, no. The Irish.
You saying longer or shorter?
Shorter. Irish were depicted as apes in the political cartoons of both England and the United States in the 19th century during the Irish immigration waves. The Italians were depicted as subhuman. And then, there's always the Jews.
Well, like I say, being a black man, and I hate to say this, but, I had a conversation with a white supremacist at Long Beach State in 1981, and he was talking all this craziness to me. I said, well, you know what? If you really want me to consider you superior, there's a couple of things you need to do. First thing, figure out the pyramid and make a child of color. And the conversation got really quiet after that.
I watched a dreadfully bad movie a couple of weeks back called Gods of Ancient Egypt. Gods of Ancient Egypt.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
White folks all over the place in ancient Egypt.
And
just
you know
saying.
What? See, just like I have a conversation with a reverend friend of mine who happens to be my business associate. He is a ordained minister. And we both come to the conclusion, maybe you can help me, Bob. What in the world is we have white mud?
White mud?
Yeah, white mud. Because in the Bible it said God knew on the side of the Euphrates River.
Oh, well, yeah. Oh, yeah. Fashioned. Yeah, right. No, sorry.
Yeah, right. So can you show me?
No.
Maybe you can help
me because
are educated.
I can't help you. And you know what? That might be, there are these little hints. There are these little hints that maybe people long before Charles Darwin were thinking that humanity had a longer history than what was readily apparent. The fact of the matter is, humanity comes out of Africa, and even me, a guy so white he burns under a refrigerator light bulb,
I like the refrigerator.
The people who are my forebears, they've only been white about 5,000 years or so.
Well, you know what?
See, out of 100,000 years of humans being humans.
Right. Right. See, but see, you know what? Like I say, I am a Christian. I'm not a Bible thumper. And, you know, sometimes you guys, you, Mike, and a couple other people get in against religion. I understand where your frustration is. I don't mind it because that's between you and your time on this planet. But I ran across a gentleman who was talking the intelligent design shit. Yeah. I loved it. I have to share this with you. I said, okay. I said, sir, you understand I am an architect. He said, yeah, I know you're an architect. And you're talking intelligent design to me. He said, right. I said, okay. Who's the goddamn designer?
And prove to me the intelligence.
Well, forget the intelligence.
There's no forget the intelligence. When I'm walking around in a body that's got a gallbladder in it and an appendix and wisdom teeth.
Well, you know what?
Yeah. Intelligent design, bye-bye.
I'm going to tell you right now, my good buddy Bob, I'm one of God's freaks of nature. And I was blessed with the ability of problem solving. And I'm like this. My problem solving is limited. And I realize where my strong points are. But I asked my grandmother and my parents, why, back in the 60s, before 63, if God loves everybody, why is he letting all these babies die in car crashes? Guess what? They develop car seats and seat belts, and people are not dying.
Fewer.
Go ahead.
No, fewer. Go ahead.
I'm like this. I am one of those people who believe God works in mysterious ways. And due to the fact that we do not approve or we don't like his methods, there's a method behind the madness. And right now, like the ambassador, well, the person, okay, the power of Germany, Angela Merkel,
yeah, the Chancellor of Germany.
She made the statement, we have to deal with America because America is sick. And I understood exactly what she was saying. We have what they had with Hitler, and it's up to us to solve it. Because, like, I watched Lord of the Rings and all kind of movies of those natures. Power does not share. Trump is not going to share his power. I'm loving it. I was under the assumption that he will be removed within the first 4 months of his presidency. And my coworker told me, well, the Republicans own the House and the Senate. And then I said, you know what? If they want to be a reliable group, they're going to have to remove him, because if they don't, they're going the way of the Whigs. And I see it right now. Trump is interested in Trump. He doesn't care about nobody but Trump. They should have stopped his punk ass earlier. They should have figured out, with their control of the voting things, they should have let Hillary or whoever be president and then come back when they got a legitimate person. Trump is going to destroy the Republican Party. He cannot destroy America. He's going to cripple us beyond repair.
Well, if we're crippled beyond repair, then it becomes an academic question as to whether or not that constitutes destruction.
I'm like this. I am an American. And there is nothing we cannot overcome.
If we
I don't care what you say.
If we want to, okay?
Well, but
that's the thing, Lamar, with the issue that we're discussing today. there are people who think that the antidote to what happened today would be if everybody was walking around strapped.
But see, the point is this. I will sit there and I will tell them, I will agree with you on one damn condition, that you don't shoot nobody in color first because they're strapped. Treat the colored people like you treat the white people. When you come out to a site and a colored person got a gun, he should be able to be taken to Burger King and gave a hamburger and taken to the courthouse.
Yeah.
How is that being fair?
Oh, God, the Burger King thing.
Is that being fair, Bob? I mean,
maybe we should just how about a constitutional amendment that says every accused murderer gets a cheeseburger.
Well, you know what? I would vote for that, even though I would never get to enjoy that particular thing, because I'm planning on killing nobody unless they're trying to kill me. But I'm just saying, think about it. They're like Mr. Edwards said when he was running, there was two Americas. No, there's three Americas.
Maybe four,
maybe
five.
Rich America, yeah. You got, huh?
Maybe four, maybe five.
I would give you that. Because, believe me, as a minority, Hispanics get a little bit more love than black people. Because as far as I'm concerned, black people are on the bottom of the totem pole. But what makes us dangerous is, like somebody said some years ago, Negroes are like cockroaches. Can't get rid of them. Well, we learn to survive. Those who fight the system, you fight it. But the rest of us are going to learn from your experience on what not to fucking do. It's called learning curve. And a lot of people don't want to pay attention to a learning curve. Like I tell my children at the school, if you walk up to a wall and it says, do not look over the wall, and you see a lot of people with bumps and hickeys on their head, will you look over the wall? My grandmother told me that one.
Exactly.
And I told her, no. I said, no, if I see a lot of people with bandages on their head, I realize that looking over that wall, somebody's on the other side who's going to hit me in the head. I'm not special. So I am not going to try. And like I've heard, and I tell my kids, Chinese proverbs, it's better for you to press shirt than press luck. I don't press my luck. I'll press your shirt, but I'm not pressing my luck.
Oh, here, here.
I'm sorry about that.
That's okay.
I'm sorry about that.
That's okay. But I tell you what, Lamar, the phone's ringing, and I'm going to make room for some other folks, because on a night like this, folks are going to want to talk.
Well, you know what? I'm glad you took me, because I got a meeting at 6 o'clock my time, and I have nothing I really want to show this client, but he got investors, so I'm going to suck it up. If I'm lucky, you'll get another $200 in key.
Well, then best of luck. Best of luck. Thank you very much. Thanks very much for helping push things along this evening. Lamar, you have yourself a good evening.
And secondly, I mute myself, so I know you got a 7-second delay, but I can't stand how I sound on radio or on the phone.
Oh, no, you're fine.
I'm sorry.
You sound fine. Lamar, you have yourself a good evening now, all right?
You have a good, and I hope the best for you, too.
All right, take care now. Our buddy Silent R. Lamar calling from L.A. or the general vicinity of L.A. All right, let's run over and see how the stress line is handling things. Bruce Birch, how are you?
Oh my goodness! How you doing, buddy?
I'm here. You're there.
I mean, Bob, can I ask you a question?
Well, I think you just did. You're out.
You know what, man? I tell everybody that because I learned that from you every night. Every time somebody asks me that question, I always ask anyway. What was Newt Gingrich thinking of today when he said, "This is a rising violence of leftists."
Wow, Newt, Steve Cantaloupe's king. Has Louis Gohmert said anything yet? I mean, it's all the usual suspects. Look, these I got a clip here, Bruce.
Please play it. Please play it. I love to hear it.
No, I don't necessarily. Well,
please.
I mean, it's not okay. So you know who the Oath Keepers are?
Please go ahead.
Well, you know they had their little rallies last weekend. Their Nuremberg rallies.
The Nuremberg. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I said that every city that had one of these rallies in it should be immediately renamed Nuremberg. You know, Nuremberg, Alabama, Nuremberg, Mississippi, Nuremberg, Idaho, Nuremberg, South Carolina.
Nuremberg, North Carolina.
But, so this doesn't touch directly on what happened today. But
if you want to play so bad you can't stand it, to go ahead.
Wait, hold on a minute. Dadgummit. I thought I stopped the stupid music. What was I playing anyway?
God, I love you, man. I love you.
Anyway, stand by. Here we go.
I'm standing by, sir.
Let's see if you can hear this.
This guy started off my last Antifa video. You got anything else you want to say?
Fuck InfoWars.
Oh, yeah. Why is that?
Fuck InfoWars.
Did your mommy not love you?
Fuck InfoWars.
Yeah. You out here protesting? You're protesting capitalism today?
Fuck InfoWars!
Yeah.
Nah,
nothing. That's it.
So this is from this is from Alex Jones's outfit.
Where was Lassie at? I'm wondering.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, you know, that kind of action. You know, Lassie was probably like, backing toward the corner. I don't know.
So I guess this was.
I'm sorry, man. I have to. You know, I hate them.
I don't know where.
I'm a leftist, Bob. You know me. Right?
I know. I don't know where these dumb bastards were, but there's actually. Hang on a minute. There's actually something I want to hear said. I want people to hear said here.
Trying to be co-opted by some pro-communists, and I ran into my old friend Jay Stang, who I met back in 2009 at the Green. Yeah, it was the Lexington Green anniversary. I forget what year it was. How many hundreds of years? It was like 200 and something years. Though it was like
Oath Keepers had their first rally where we officially founded. Yes, it is.
So what's been going on since then?
Well, we've been busy doing a lot of action, and here we're here to protect people, make sure nothing gets out of hand, and we've got some great support from the Texas Department of Public Safety, the Austin Police. I think they're getting all their training hours in, because I think I've seen every variety of state trooper that they have. So if the state troopers were not here, there'd already be a street war and bodies in the street here. So kudos to them for keeping everybody calm and as rational as they'll ever get.
Well, it almost came to that at some point before the cops stepped in. Were you here when that was going down?
But there's no ambiguity in meetings like this, because when you unfurl the hammer and sickle flag, there's no debate what side you're on.
Why is it that liberals are so for Sharia law? Why do they seem like you can't talk about Sharia law or you're a racist?
Sharia law is very totalitarian. The communists, the Nazis, and the Sharia and the Muslims have always gotten along with each other. I've read that Hitler himself wished he...
Yeah, you got that, Bruce? The communists and the Nazis have always gotten along so well together.
Hold on. Stop, Bob. Stop. Full stop, sir. Full stop. Communists are where? If you're looking down the middle of the road and you see communists, where are they going to be? On the left, right?
Well, yeah, okay.
Hold up. Stop. Where are the Nazis going to be? On the right?
Uh-huh. Maybe? Uh-huh. All right.
Oh, the communists and the Nazis. So I guess the entire middle of the road is going to burn up. I don't know. I'm not a rocket scientist, sir.
Although
I have been watching Einstein on TV, but oh my goodness.
So this guy goes on to say that. Civil war in the United States is guaranteed, you know, because it makes his tiny, tiny little pee-pee so, it makes it jump like a snake in a microwave.
goodness gracious. How did he fit it in there?
I don't want to think about it because I have to sleep later and I'm not up for the nightmare.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, man, let me ask you I'm not going to ask you a question about asking a question. Let me just say this. No, I better not say that. I could get investigated tomorrow. I enjoyed your monologue at the beginning of the show very much. I listened with great joy, laughing, saying, that's my Bob. You know?
Yeah.
And anyone out there who doesn't believe that what happened today was as a result of, let's say, natural selection. Things happen as a result of things, right?
Cause and effect. Cause and effect, actions, reactions, right? Yeah.
I'm thinking today, sir, was a shot across the bow. I mean, that's all I'm going to say.
Today was the excuse that Republicans, right-wingers, birthers, deathers, ninthers, tenthers, baggers, birchers, booger-eaters, and teabaggers, and...
Hold up, don't say birchers, goddammit.
And Trumpansies. Today was the day they have been waiting for, because now they have their casus belli.
One day, Bob, you and I, my friend, will be standing together as they prepare us a noose. You know that, right?
Gotta catch me first.
Stop. I cannot, for the life of me, think of better company, sir, than you.
Well, thank you kindly, but I would far rather share a backgammon board than a standing room only spot over a trap. You understand, all things being equal.
They're not, though, sir.
Well, no, they're not.
No, they're not. So how do we handle that? We speak our minds.
Yeah, Just because some guy squeezed off a few rounds at a Klan sympathizer, I'm not going to stop saying that we need a living wage in this country. I'm not going to stop saying that we need for every citizen in this country to have access to health care. I'm not going to stop saying that people who want to go to college need to be able to go to college and not come and come out of college without $250,000 in debt. I'm not going to stop saying that people who want to go into the building trades or who want to work with their hands should have an opportunity to do that. I'm not going to stop saying any of that. I'm not going to be quiet. I'm not going to be quelled. I'm not going to be silenced simply because some butthurt snowflakes got shot at.
Bob, breathe deeply for one moment. And here you go. No, fuck that. Don't say home. No. Breathe deeply. And think for one moment where we would be if Aaron Burr hadn't shot that guy. Huh? That's all I'm saying, bro. Our history as a nation is fraught with folks who decide they want to take a bullet and put it in somebody else's body. Now, I'm not in favor of that, okay? Because we can always work stuff out through our words. But there comes a time when, and I'm not saying today was that time. I don't even know this guy's Scalise, except for he voted to, kill about 20,000 American people. That's all I know about him. He's an asshole. But, there will come a time when you and I, sir, perhaps the people who agree with us, might have to rise up and do what we have to do. Stop.
Bruce.
Our government and our Constitution provides for that, does it not?
Our Constitution provides for impeaching a president who commits high crimes and misdemeanors. But the problem is, Bruce, we are in constitutional crisis. The Constitution, the Constitution has failed.
It has. You're absolutely fucking right. Can I use that word?
Absolutely.
Awesome. Fuck yeah. So what do we do then, Bob? Tell me, please. Give me a solution. I want to hear it.
Wait a minute. You've known me for how long? This is not the Shell Answer Man program, Bruce.
Yes, it is. You're the boss.
No, it isn't. You want a solution? You want an answer? You keep doing your work. Before Enlightenment, carry water. Carry wood. Carry water. After Enlightenment, carry wood. Carry water.
You know I'm laughing, man, because we both know what the fucking solution is, man, don't we? And you know what? We don't have to say that loud, but you know what the deal is that these folks who were running rampant over our Constitution, you know, over our democratic society, have decided that they hold the reins, and that's okay. They can for a moment, you know, until the rest of us decide it's time to be done with it. I take a deep breath, sir. And I take a deep breath because the future it looks a little bit bleak. It looks a little bit, you know, less than peaceful. It looks a little bit less than understanding and everybody shaking hands and all that shit, man. You know, it looks more like, you know, we need to, you know, grasp back what is dutifully ours. Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, who wanted a monarchy, you know. All these guys, man, you know, they gave their, I'm going to say lives, they gave their time and effort to create a republic that you and I have seen fit to live under peacefully for a long, God blessed time. Right?
Yeah.
At what time do we take ownership of where we live, sir? At what time do we decide that we are going to, you know, act, you know, I've always advocated people going to the streets, have I not?
Yes.
I've always advocated people standing up and saying what's right and doing what is correct by our Constitution, correct?
Right.
All right. If not now, when? If not now, Bob, when? I'm very frustrated, man.
I understand you are.
I'm very frustrated.
I'm trying to sort out here. Look, I can't say it any more plainly than this. Bruce, the resort to violence always fails.
No, it doesn't, sir.
Yeah, it does.
Okay, well, it fails on what front?
Let's see. A bunch of fed up coal miners. 1921, back from the First World War, picked up their guns.
Herbert Hoover,
they picked up their guns. They told Mother Jones, who said, you know, don't do this, boys, because they'll squash you like a bug. And they said, you've lost your nerve, Mother Jones. And they marched. And they decided to go to war with the sheriff of Logan County, West Virginia, and a small army of hired gun thugs. And you know what happened? They lost.
Okay, man.
And the federal government came in and squashed them like bugs.
The Battle of Blair Mountain. I know all about it, too, Bob.
Okay.
I know that. But listen, man, this is bigger than
that. What would have happened? Okay, you want something bigger? How about the Civil Rights Movement? What would have happened? If everybody on the mall in Washington D.C. in August of 1963 had strapped up and gone through the streets of Washington,
what about the bonus army, Bob? The bonus army that camped out there.
Yeah, got crushed like bugs.
They had to go ask them to leave because they didn't have enough. They couldn't remove them by force after World War One. How about that? They couldn't do it because they were outgunned and outmanned.
And they didn't accomplish their goals.
They did somewhat, yes, but not everything. No.
The resort to violence is always a loser. How many times was there a resort to violence in India? And how many times did the British government come down on them like a sack of wet cement?
Let's take a step forward, Bob. Let's take a step forward. Let's leave that argument alone. So what is the damn solution, man? What is it, man? Tell me. Because, you know, I'm over here in my little North Carolina town, you know, wanting to see something different and, like, not happy about what's happening and very upset, as are all my neighbors, all of them. So tell me what the solution is, man, please.
Well, I mean, what are your neighbors upset about?
They're upset about the entire, I mean, like, you know, man, I ain't going to tell you what everybody tells me because I don't want to have anybody thrown in jail. But,
are you talking about today or are you talking about the overall course?
I'm talking about overall, sir. I'm talking about overall. Like, you know, the entire, you know, the usurpation of powers. The removal of their health care, the absolute removal of all the, you know, the national parks are being bastardized now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I mean, you name it. Where do I start?
And are those people that you're talking about and you, I mean, are you talked about taking it to the streets?
Of course.
This government changes will change almost overnight if a million people sit down around the Capitol and the White House and just say we're not leaving.
Well, you know what, man?
They don't have to have. They don't have to have. They don't have to have gun. They don't have to have gun number one on them. They don't have to threaten violence. All they have to do is be willing to stay.
I'm not doing that.
All they have to do is be willing to stay, Bruce, and that's the key. Because. We're going to have a march in Washington. We're going to have it on Saturday. It'll be over by Sunday. Oh, look, we're going to have another march on another Saturday. It, too, will be over by Sunday. Oh, look, we marched. Okay? They're great manifestations of popular frustration, but until they have the staying power and until people are desperate enough to stick around, nothing changes, okay?
Yeah, we've seen it so many times, haven't we?
There's an old axiom out there that a dear friend of mine who recently left the planet used to mention to me. When the belly rumbles, the head learns.
I love you, man. You know that? You're one of my most favorite people in the entire world, and here's why. Because you always talk me down off the ledge.
Oh, hell, I mean, it's my ledge. I live on it. And sometimes people come out and sometimes people come out on the ledge with me, and we smoke cigarettes, and we flick the burning butts down at the little trumpanzees below. And you know what? When you hit one of their little MAGA hats, those little polyester sons of bitches go up like flash paper.
Bob, I know it's getting close to the top of the hour. I just want to tell you I love you, man, you know, and I love everything you do. And I listened to your monologue earlier, and it was awesome. It fired me up, bro. Fired me up. So keep it up, man.
All right. Well, Bruce, you take care.
I will. I'll do my best. If you hear about me getting arrested, please send money to a bond agency or something. I don't know.
Yeah, Chico's bail bonds.
No, I'm just joking. I won't do that.
Chico's bail bonds. Attention,
have a great
Chico.
Night, man, and all your listeners, man. I hope you guys have a wonderful night. Just remember, man, it's never that important. Man, take a deep breath, and everything we do, right, in all of our actions has to carry peace, right? Right, Bob?
Exactly. Because you know, I mean, there's that little quote that especially the Republicans don't like to think about. It was the first thing I thought about, Bruce. It takes place in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Yeah.
And I know your Jesus. And it's prayer meet, and it is prayer meeting Wednesday, so I get to do this. And so Yeshua the brown-skinned Palestinian carpenter and day laborer and itinerant semi-literate rabbi is there with some of his followers, the majority of whom are, you know, Atne Ute Aitbre, if you one what I mean. And lo and behold, Peter has gotten himself a sword. because he's going to protect Jeebus. He's kind of like one of these Oath Keeper types. Yeah. I like to imagine Peter as being a big old fella, can't run real fast. You know, like these 3%ers and Oath Keepers and militia members that couldn't win a battle with a hungry man dinner. And he's got him a new sword, and the Romans come up, and apparently Judas Iscariot Top goes up and smooches him to let him know who to arrest, and they come fixing up to arrest Jesus. And Peter whoops out his sword and lops the ear right off of one of them Roman soldiers.
What the hell?
Lops it plumb off.
Plumb off. Plumb off.
And Yeshua picks up the ear and kind of dabs it back on there, and miraculously it stays put. And then he looks at Peter. And this is the part I thought of this morning when I found out that there was somebody shooting guns at gun nut Republicans.
Yeah.
Yeshua looks at Peter, and he says, "Put up thy sword into his place. For those that live by the sword shall die by the sword." And see, that also translates. You could do a global search and replace on your word processing program, and you could say, look up all the word sword and replace it with semi-automatic assault rifle.
Of course.
So that Yeshua could have said, put up thy semi-automatic assault rifle into his place, for those that live by the semi-automatic assault rifle shall die by the semi-automatic assault rifle.
Right. I will say this, though, Bob, before I sign off, I wish no ill will on anyone, anywhere, at any time. All right? I mean, you know, these guys who got shot up there today, I mean, you know, it's one thing if you dare somebody to a duel. It's another thing entirely if you're trying to play baseball and, you know, get shot. It's, you know, that was wrong with that fellow to do that. There's a different way to go about expressing your angst, I think. I think you and I have covered that, have we not?
I do believe we have. Brother Bruce, right. You have yourself a good evening.
Bob, have a great night.
I'm going to try. Bye now.
All right. Love you, man. Bye.
Our buddy Bruce calling from North Carolina, Stan. Note coming in from Jack in Shreveport. If not now, when? With solution. When? When the cable TV gets cut off. Solution? Rather than take over by violence or intermittent protests, form a guerrilla cyber organization that picks up cable TV infrastructure continuously. Then long-term sit-in protests and congressional pressure can be waged. Of course, you have to find enough people to give up cable TV long enough to go out and all the rest of the folks' cable TV. And therein lies the rub. Thank you, Jack. Meanwhile, Steve, a member of the fraternity of Steve, writes, subject line, "The Boys of Slaughter." Hard to say whether this one was just dealing with personal issues or fulfilling his patriotic duty. I guess that could be a real problem for Republicans right now. Can't say a few of them don't deserve it, but no one's likely to wake up anytime soon. Too much profit in the bullet trade. They need to ditch the red and white Republican shirts at the ball field, though. I'm thinking an Appalachian Shades of Camouflage might be better. Regards, Steve, in China. Or maybe they could stop trying to terrorize the American people. And let's be clear about this. Liberals and progressives are not the only ones being terrorized here. So too are the wingnuts. The birthers, deathers, ninthers, tenthers, birchers, baggers, booger eaters, Trumpanzees, you know, Republicans. Because the people they elect to put them in and put in office turn around and weaponize them by terrorizing them. More people are killed in this country by Christians on an annual basis by exponential factors than are killed by Muslims. Okay? I haven't seen the numbers lately, but go look at the look at the number of people killed by police. Here. And then there's just, you know, then there's just the negligence. The people who kill without even wanting to kill or meaning to kill. Eric Hummel is 33 years old. Eric Hummel is from Hobart, Talibandiana. Eric Hummel had a couple of 10-year-old boys, the pride of his life, his sons. But he also had a daughter. And I guess you can probably figure out from the use of the past perfect tense that little Olivia Hummel is no more. Now, Eric Hummel, age 33, of Hobart, Talibandiana, was a good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, amosexual. He believed in our Second Amendment right to keep armed bears. Because, you know, sometimes the tree of liberty must be watered from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. It is its natural manure. And because the National Republican Rifle Association, America's wealthiest and most powerful domestic terror organization, constantly reminds its membership to teach their children well about firearms and how dangerous they can be and how they should only be handled by people who's trained and knows how to use them. Well, he was a-teaching his two 10-year-old boys how they should never play with guns. And so he picked up his Freedom Protector, and he said, boys, don't ever play with guns. They can always go off. They can always hurt somebody. And he turned his Freedom Protector over to little 9-year-old Olivia Hummel and pulled the trigger and blew her brains all over the wall. Point blank. 2, maybe 3 feet. The little boys did not handle this very well. 10-year-old boys can hardly be expected to handle that very well. And when the police questioned one of them, the little boy said, he shooted her. Hobart Police Chief Richard Zormier said, I believe this was a series of heinous and depraved acts. His actions caused the death of Olivia and likely scarred the boys emotionally for life. She's dead. She's dead. No, actually, that's what Pappy Eric Hummel, age 33, of Hobart, Talibandiana, good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, amosexual, gun-dementalist, said to the police. She's dead. She's dead. I thought it was empty. I was showing the boys the gun and told them not to ever play with it because it can kill someone. Then she walked in the room and I pointed it at her and pulled the trigger thinking it was empty. I'm so sorry. It was so stupid. That's what he said to his wife on the phone before they carried him away. Wonder how long it was before the day that he did that,
that he'd had a conversation with somebody. Yeah, boy, I tell you what, I got me a real sweetheart of a 9mm. Boy, I tell you what, if the government ever comes for me, I'm going to be ready. Or if there's a home intruder, or if they, or some of them Sharia Muslims come busting through my door, I'm going to get them. I am. I'm a gonna get them.
I've always thought if more good people had concealed carry permits, then we could end those Muslims before they walk in and kill us. So I just wanted to take this opportunity to encourage all of you to get your permit. We offer a free course. Let's teach them a lesson if they ever show up here. So,
by God, little Olivia sure learned a lesson, didn't she? 'Cause freedom. Wolverines! Note coming in from Scott with his little feathered pal Swami Punky the cockatiel. Subject line: Bruce's question thing. Howdy, Bob. Howdy, Scott. I like that Bruce understands the importance of answers, but here's the deal. It's really all about questions. If you pose the correct questions, you'll get all the answers you need. Sometimes a question shows up in the form of a contemplation. Something to contemplate. Human beings are hardwired to look good and be right by making others bad and wrong. This dynamic shows up most in the realm of religion and politics, but it's also a constant in the human condition. Then there's the part about the resistance-persistence dynamic, that is, what you resist will persist. The key here is to embrace and accept the current what is, because it'll be, whether we accept it or not. And here's where the metaphysics kick in. In the act of authentically embracing the current what is, a space opens up in which we're free to create a different what is that works better for all concerned. Scott has taken over the role of resident optimist here at the Horn. It could be that what you resist persists. But I find it extremely difficult to stand by and watch the subversion of the entire Constitution of the United States and acquiesce. Because that's what we're dealing with. I played a clip Monday evening on the program. It was the clip of the cabinet of the President of the United States bowing and scraping before him, telling him how gosh darned double plus good star-spangled awesome he is. Because, you know, he needs to be told that from time to time. That kind of person. And it's weird when I get the same email from or the same tenor of email from several people, and I did a number of different people writing to me and saying, Bob, I think that's the creepiest, scariest clip you've ever played on the program. And I think it was creepy and scary because it was a manifestation of just what a wreck our country is. It was a reminder that we no longer have a president of the United States, but instead we have someone who views himself as some sort of god emperor. who has somehow managed to so thoroughly sublimate the idea of human mortality that he thinks he's going to rule forever, I guess. And that being a god on earth, and maybe and in the context of, say, the Julius Caesar production there in New York, after Caesar was murdered, the people who came behind him immediately deified him and declared him the god Caesar. On the spot where he was cremated in the Forum, they built the Temple to the Divine Julius. And so maybe, you know, maybe that sense of divinity, well, Caesar didn't have it, but I think it's fairly clear that Trump does. But it's time that we acknowledged, and it's and you know, the hand wringing that you're going to have to endure if you tune in to the for-profit media for the next week or so is going to be hard to swallow, hard to stomach, because it's going to be full of platitudinous bullshit like. We never expected it. I mean, okay, so, but not that way. Oh my God, I can't believe it. And anybody who looks into a camera or speaks into a microphone and says they cannot believe what happened in Alexandria happened is lying to whomever happens to be tuned in. Because it's not only reasonable and foreseeable. It's not only predictable. It's been coming for a long time. Representative Al Green, a Democrat from Texas, is a black congressman. He was one of the first to say that he was going to push for impeachment of Comrade Kumquat. Didn't get much play, but the fact of the matter is he almost immediately began receiving lynching threats. Because, see, that's how white America responds to people of color who do things that certain portions of white America think is improper for a person of color. And so while he's been getting threats against his life for 2 or 3 weeks, well, suddenly he's noticed what he calls an increase in polarizing party-specific calls. The threats are now rolling into House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi's office as well. Representative Emanuel Cleaver, a Democrat from Missouri, is also getting threats. Representative Nanette Diaz-Barragan has apparently received a voicemail that says, "You're next." Might be a good time to look up the Latin phrase, causus belli. I'm not one of these right-wing freaks that says that there's going to be a civil war. I've said for damn near the entire time I've been on air that we are in a cold civil war with a country divided against itself. And what did Lincoln say? A house divided against itself cannot stand. It's an interesting analogy because it uses the idea of the structural framing of a home. And Silent R. Lamar, who works in that field, could probably address it.
If you divide a house against itself, in other words, if you take a house and you put force in the middle of it that pushes the two halves away from each other, it's going to collapse. It's going to fall over. It's not going to be a house anymore. And we are at risk. But to pretend that the risk, the risk, and the threats and the threats of violence, only cropped up today or since January 20th, 2017, that's unvarnished bullshit. What did what was that one sign? It was when Scott Brown was running against Elizabeth Warren for the Senate seat in Massachusetts a few years back. And some good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual showed up with a sign that said, if Brown can't do it, Browning can. Browning being a very famous manufacturer of firearms. Okay. And of course, then there's the President of the United States, who on the campaign trail exhorted his followers to murder Hillary Clinton. Maybe some of the Second Amendment people can take care of it. This is not as new as people purport that it is. And, you know, maybe we'll nod off and go back to sleep for a little while. Until something else happens. My heart breaks for the people murdered in San Francisco today, largely because they're going to be forgotten in the wave of single-minded coverage of the shooting of a Klan sympathizer today. It is prayer meeting Wednesday, so hey, let's check in with one of America's best Christians, First Baptist Church of Dallas, Pastor Robert Jeffress. Back during the campaign, he said he would vote for Donald Trump over Jesus Christ himself. And then when what happened in Alexandria happened today, he said, this appalling act of violence highlights the fact that the unrelenting demonization of our legitimately elected political leaders could lead to tragedy. And I refer particularly to the mainstream media, our universities, and to Hollywood. Now is the time to tone it all down, embrace real tolerance, report objectively, and stop provoking our nation to conflict. Well, here's the problem. There's only one way to report objectively on the American Health Care Act, and that is to say that it will take health care away from in excess of 20, perhaps near 30 million American citizens. And of that 20 to 30 million American citizens, it will be a literal death sentence because tens of thousands of Americans will die, not from disease, not from the underlying causation, but from the ability, the inability to access health care via the insurance required to pay for it. That is objective. That is fact-based. Now, what's not fact-based is, say, the ad that I see running on that little program I watch in the morning, where the blonde-headed liar lady says, "Thank Speaker Paul Ryan, because I believe the American Health Care Act can finally get me coverage that nigra took away from me." Okay, she doesn't say that, but yeah, you get the idea. That's lying. And what Pastor Brother Minister Jeffress is saying is, let us get away with lying about what Republicans want to do to the people of the United States of America. Let us just bullshit you, and y'all just report. Can't you all just be Fox News? Being a pastor, you have to write sermons. And when you write sermons, if you string enough of them together, you wind up with a book. And then you sell the book to the Simon Simple and Simon Pure, and you make some more of that money that's going to make you so rich that your avatar, Yeshua the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer, says you'd have a hard time passing through the eye, an easier time getting into heaven than a camel passing through the eye of a needle. So back in 2014, Pastor Robert Jeffress wrote a little book called Perfect Ending. And in that, now remember, this is Pastor Robert Jeffress, who wants to tone it all down, embrace real tolerance, report objectively, and stop provoking our nation to conflict. It was back in 2014 in Perfect Ending when Robert Jeffress, follower of Christ Jesus, wrote, "While I am not suggesting that President Obama is the Antichrist, the fact that he was able to propose such a sweeping change in God's law and still win re-election by a comfortable margin illustrates how a future world leader will be able to oppose God's laws without any repercussions. I'm not saying President Obama is the Antichrist. In fact, I'm sure he's not, because the Antichrist is going to have higher poll numbers." Now, see, let's understand, when a minister says, "I'm not saying he's the Antichrist, but," he's pretty much just said he's the Antichrist. And it wasn't just Pastor Jeffress. 8 years. God Almighty, it was the beginning of that 8-year run that there was a poll taken in New Jersey where 27% of the respondents in New Jersey said they weren't sure whether Barack Obama was the Antichrist. And then, while we talk about time to tone it all down, embrace real tolerance, report objectively, and stop provoking our nation to conflict, how's about physician, heal thyself, you son of a bitch? How's about birtherism? Yeah, you know what Pastor Jeffress did not write in 2011 or 2012 or 2013 or 2014 or 15 or 16? You know what he didn't write? "It is time for
Now is the time for Donald Trump to tone it all down, embrace real tolerance, report objectively, and stop provoking our nation to conflict with his insane birther theories, accusing the president of not being an American citizen and of being a member of a hated religion. That's what Pastor Jeffress didn't fucking write in any of those years. That's what he's never written, and that is what he will never write. You know, we got about 24 minutes to go in the program, and that would make about 24 minutes to go to raise the $50 we need to finish off fundraising for the evening. But I think about conversations that we've had here, and they mean a lot to me. They mean, it isn't just idle stuff that blows past me and then I forget about it. People reach out to me. You've heard it on this program. And they talk about how stressed out they are by all of this. And what about all of this stresses them out? To a certain extent, sure, it is the flow of information. But we've been speeding down the information superhighway for, depending on who you are and when you got into it, but, you know, roughly since, let's call it 22 years now. Let's use 1995 as our benchmark. Yeah, we put into passing gear when everybody got a computer in their pocket and could be connected to information constantly, but we've been plugged in. I mean, hell, I remember a time when information was passed over fax machines. And even then, you know, there was Fox News. And even then, there was Rush Limbaugh. Okay, I remember that. But I have this theory that it's not so much the information. It is the sense of creeping mortal dread that comes with it. We are in a time and place where people are beginning to feel like something inevitable. Is coming at us. In the days before September 11th, 2001, there may have been some people who said, something about that, but not a lot of it. But there is a national sense that something wicked this way comes. And on the progressive or liberal or left side of things, we're plugged in enough that we can put the pieces together and come up with a pretty terrifying puzzle picture that gives us a sense that what's coming is not amorphous. It's not without form or shape. That it has a specific nature to it. It's not the dread of nuclear war that plagued us through the 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s. It's closer to home. It's more fundamental in nature. It's stuff that touches us and carries with it a freight of agony and anguish.
of dying slowly, sick, in horrible pain, without access to health care, and at best being left with merciless, heartbreaking choices. It's a working class being ground into ever finer bits of dust beneath the boots of right-wing capitalists, anarcho-capitalists, who don't give a damn, but have, oh, say, 40% of the working class with them by telling them that the problem is caused by those people, the others, and that they better have a gun or buy or lay in a supply of bucket pudding or some freeze-dried water for the apocarev. No, it's more real than that. It's losses of homes, losses of income, loss of the ability to eat, loss of the ability to shelter against the elements. And I know for a fact, because I get the emails and I don't share them all with you, that it's gnawing on people. And so let me make this little appeal. This really is a community. Be part of it. If you're feeling overwhelmed, share it with others and let it be diluted like a drop, like a drop of food coloring in a swimming pool. We are here to support each other. I use that line from Matewan from time to time, sometimes facetiously, sometimes not so much. This is that. All we got in common is our misery, and the least we can do is share it. And in sharing, we find out maybe we're not so miserable after all. We're not alone. I come back to what I said in the first hour. I'd give anything if that guy in Illinois had some way of becoming, of knowing about what we do here, what we talk about. Maybe the desperation wouldn't have eaten, wouldn't have burrowed so far into his brain. I don't know. And, okay, we don't do this very often, but Bruce Birch is back. Apparently, I have inspired him to further further feats of conversation. Hey, Bruce.
Yes, well, I'm calling you back. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
Can you? Okay, all right. Listen, man, I'm calling you back because I don't want to leave a sour impression of who I am. I'm staying up. Hello?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm standing outside watching the storm clouds roll in. And as I'm standing here, you know, my first thought went to those people who don't have anywhere to go, who are outside by themselves, no shelter, no food, you know, nothing except the ability to, you know, run to the next, you know, place to take cover from the storm. And Bob, that's what's most important, man. You know, like all this other crap and bullshit about we talk, no offense, you know, we talk this about politics and all that, but when the light crashes and the wind blows and the wind and the hail comes down, there are people who run to find themselves a place to go. They should not have to find a place to go. They should have a place to be. And I work for that every day, man. So, you know, I didn't want to leave that conversation we left. You know, I was all angry and all that. But you know what, man? In the end, all we can do is help each other, right?
That's what we try to do. And
so
sometimes
I didn't want to call you back twice. I know you'd only accept my call twice because I'm, you know, a celebrity and all that. No, I'm not, just playing. But I say that because I love you. And, you know, this is a day that we should often, you know, remember, man. I mean, you know, we can all bitch, you know, we can listen to the radio and we can, like, you know, do what we think we're doing to make a difference. But the reality is, man, are you feeding, you know, somebody? Are you helping somebody find somewhere to go? That's what matters, man.
Well, sure. And as we wrapped up the last conversation, I talked about that little Bible verse. Well, there are a lot of people out there who spend a lot more time obsessing over the murder of Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and itinerant semi-literate rabbi, than they do over what he taught, if you believe in that sort of thing.
Of course I never do. Believe
and
me.
He said, alleged, and he said, allegedly, that the things that matter in this world, the things that will get you, the things that they're going to look into on the great day of judgment, are how you treated poor folks. And he said, clothe the naked, house the homeless. If somebody's in prison, go visit them. If they're sick,
right,
do what you can to heal them.
Exactly.
And he said,
do. Everything you do.
And he said, for inasmuch as ye have done it unto these, ye have done it also unto me. And for inasmuch as ye have not
That's
done
right.
it unto these,
Matthew
you
what?
Have not done it unto me.
Matthew what?
25, baby, 25.
25 what?
Just go to Matthew 25. You'll be fine.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a whole bunch of stuff there.
Absolutely, sir. Hey, no, stop, no, I don't want you to cut me off, but my son got his college degree last weekend, sir.
I'll be dog. That's wonderful.
Yes, he did.
What's he degreed in?
Social justice.
Atta boy.
You know, we hung out this afternoon. I said, hey, man, let's call Bob's show today. He goes, I said, you be Lindsey Graham, and I'll be Jeff Sessions. He started laughing. He said, Dad, he said, you know what? I said, what? Now, this, keep in mind, my son works at the local day shelter for the homeless. All right? That's his job. He goes up there and he, you know, helps them, you know, get showers and wash clothes and all that.
Yeah.
And he said to me, Dad, you are absolutely full of shit. I said, yeah.
Sons say that to fathers sometimes.
I said, yeah. Yeah, I am. I said, but son, I love you for everything you do. You know, because I guess I rubbed off on him a little bit. I don't know. But,
Well, you know, I remember a time when he and Cassie,
yeah,
were going. He was going to be her vice presidential running mate, and we're getting
yeah.
closer to that time.
Yeah, yeah, he's a mess. Hey, listen, man, I'm not gonna hold you, but I love you, man, and I'll leave you alone for the rest of the night. I promise.
Well, that's a 10-minute promise, Bruce. I mean, come on.
A 10-minute promise? Well, damn, I can hold that one.
All right, you take care, my friend.
Yeah.
My son
gives his regards to you.
Well, tell Casey he's working on the side of the angels.
There you go. All right, I love you, man. Thank you.
All right, bye now. That was worth a second bite of the apple, I'd say. Thank you, Charlene. Thank you very, very kindly. We're now only $25 away from having met tonight's fundraising goal. And that is monumental. Thank you very, very kindly. In the midst of everything else, I have ignored, and shame on me,
probably the biggest breaking story of the evening. I also managed to ignore the big thing that happened yesterday that I should have been talking about last night had I been on the air last night, but I wasn't. And that was the apparent sudden onset of Alzheimer's with U.S. Attorney General Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions the Tud. That man couldn't remember shit yesterday. And once again, Angus King of Maine, who, I remind you, is decidedly insufficiently ideologically pure, and Kamala Harris, who again is decidedly insufficiently ideologically pure, they peeled him like a grape. It's worth going back if you haven't, if you didn't see the testimony, it's worth going back through. But the big breaking news this evening, the Washington Post breaking the story. It may kind of explain why it is that all of a sudden we had that talk that we were talking about on Monday evening. All that talk in the White House about how Marcus Aurelius might decide to fire Robert Mueller, the independent counsel. Devlin Barrett, Adam Entwistle, Ellen Nakashima, and Sari Horowitz, writing at the Washington Post, say the special counsel overseeing the investigation into Russia's role in the 2016 election is interviewing senior intelligence officials as part of a widening probe that now includes an examination of whether President Trump attempted to obstruct justice. It took 6+ years for Richard M. Nixon, the dirtiest man ever to inhabit the White House, to go down that road. Trump has put him to shame. The operative phrase at this point is attempted. Whether President Trump attempted to obstruct justice. Looking into, originally looking into whether or not the Russians meddled in the election. By the way, keep reading that. Don't just walk away from this. There's nothing there. Because there's more and more there. But just as a certain investigation some, 22, 23 years ago, morphed from a failed land deal in Arkansas into sordid tales of a stained blue dress, well, this one has morphed, too, into something far more serious than stains on a blue dress. Five people briefed on the requests, speaking on the condition of anonymity because they were not authorized to discuss the matter publicly, said that Daniel Coates, current director of National Intelligence, Mike Rogers, head of the National Security Agency, the contempt of Congress duo from last week, and Rogers' recently departed deputy chief, Richard Leggett, agreed to be interviewed by Mueller's investigators as early as this week. The investigation has been cloaked in secrecy, and it is unclear how many others have been questioned by the FBI. We also know that Robert Mueller has been lawyering up, as it were, with people whose specialty is in official corruption and organized crime. So now the plot thickens. It's still going to take a long time, but the plot thickens. New lawsuits against Trump for violations of the Emoluments Clause. Emoluments?
What do you mean emoluments? I never even had anything to do with any Russian hookers.
Yeah. Exactly. So that will probably make its way to it'll bubble to the surface tomorrow. And we'll see where we find ourselves on Thorn in the Side Thursday. Thank you very kindly to Steve and Miss Karen and Cletus and Little Twiggy. We actually made the entire fundraising goal this evening. Thank you so very much. So tomorrow we've just got a regular fundraising goal, or maybe even less, depending on what the overnight crew does. Thank you, one and all. Thank you, Yuki, for getting it started. Thank you, Carol Baker, for answering Yuki's challenge. Thank you to Silent R. Lamar. Thank you, Frank. Thank you, Charlene. Thank you, Marty. And thank you to Steve and Miss Karen and Cletus and Twiggy. I also want to send out special thanks here with a couple of minutes to go in the program to Fab. This program would not have happened after yesterday's lightning strike. This program would not have happened if I had not had a piece of equipment to put in line ahead of schedule that Fab provided in the course of being the generous contributor of the new production PC to be known as the Fab Machine. So thank you very much. And with the internet being properly grounded tomorrow, I can feel good about putting those new machines in line. So thank you one and all for the time, the precious finite time you spend in listening to this program. I hope it provides some benefit. You tell me that it does. Thank you to all of you who keep the program going each and every day of each and every month. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you, Steve from Georgistan, our midweek utility prayer meeting Wednesday moderator. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you to Brother Deacon Asa, host of the HeadOn.live alternate stream. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.